So the prophecy for me was, I'm a kickboxer at the time, and I had just become champion. So, yes, you started out a warrior in the natural, and I gave you an anointing for it. But now, my son, you are being called to a greater war and a harder battle than that which assails flesh. You are being called into a battle with the destroyer of souls. As you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. And there in that place, I will give you strength and instruction, but only as you forsake now many things in the flesh. I will ever draw you upward and forward into the front lines as you continually and wholeheartedly consecrate yourself to me, so that I can finish the work in you to prepare you for the work you will do with me in others. Dash, consecrate yourself to me. There is much work to do, but only a few will come. Dash, only a few will come because of their affections in the flesh and the love of their own lives. It is a hard thing to lay down your life for others, and very few will do it. But a few I have called to war and intercede, and as those ones allow themselves to be cleansed by the fire, I will at each stage of cleansing build my character and my nature in them, but only as they allow me to. For the price is great, and the cross is a sacrificial one, which is odious to human nature. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Now, she handed me this, Brother Shannon,
wow.
And she said, what does the word odious mean? She had no idea God had had her write this, and she didn't know what, she said, I had never heard that word before. And then we had to get a dictionary and look it up. Don't ask me, I don't know. So this came from her, and then 2 weeks later, a totally separate person who has no connection with person number one comes to me, same basic story. She says, it's about midnight, I'm asleep. She says, the Lord wakes me up, and she was a nurse, a registered nurse. She said, he started giving me this download that I was supposed to write down and bring to you. She said, I didn't have anything to write on except my nurse's stationery. So she grabbed her nurse's stationery and began to write this and handed it to me. I still got the nurse's stationery that she used. And this is the second prophecy, and these were numbered as number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Totally unconnected. 2 weeks later, she hands this to me, and it says, number 1, do not become too comfortable. Number 2, do not gather, store, or put down roots. You will need to move quickly when I call upon you. Number 3, do not let fear overtake you. I will sustain you and lift you up. The days are swiftly coming when I will roll over the earth like a strong wind. I will crush those who are evil and extinguish those who are but weak flames. My people will glow like burning embers. Ooh, I'm getting chills just telling you, brother.
Wow.
I have a mountain for you to climb. You are being prepared for your journey now. I will help you climb one step at a time. It will be important for you to listen carefully, underlined, to my instructions. Do not be caught off guard. You will know my instructions. I will tell you what to do. Do not miss my timing. This is critical. You will know my voice. Indeed. Now, brother, at the time, these prophetic words didn't mean a lot to me. I didn't know much about spiritual warfare. Now, you got to think back, Brother Shannon, that's 1993. My goodness.
That's
and all.
Word. I feel like it was just read today.
Yes. Ooh. It. All of this. But see, let me tell you something. God will call you sometimes, but brother, you've got to go through some things before you can be activated for that ministry he's called you to. He called me to that back then, but all of these things applied to me. I had to forsake many things in the flesh. Underline many. Put a box around it and highlight it. Many things I had to forsake in the flesh to get to where I could even understand what they're talking about. And that brings us to the series we're going to do, Getting in Shape. And I wanted to give you the whole backstory so you could appreciate how this came to be. Because we're going to get into some stuff that you're going to go, man, I get it. I never thought of it that way, the same way it was for me. So all these years later, he started reactivating me around 2008, sent some words to me, and that's another story we'll talk about later, to get back into this. So I'm teaching at a little small church that I co-founded here in the town where I live. And God's got me on a series of spiritual warfare teachings, all right? Because that's what he's given me a mandate to teach. I didn't call myself to do this, Shannon, because I highly discourage anyone from calling themselves into a spiritual warfare ministry. Brother, there are a lot of ministries you could call yourself into that are a lot easier than getting into a spiritual warfare ministry.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't call myself into it, but I was called, and I knew this was what I was supposed to do. So we founded the church in basically a homeless shelter. You can imagine, talk about a hotbed for demons. We're in this homeless building shelter thing in there. So, you know, first week, people start walking in there manifesting, and it's on, basically. So I'm teaching the series, and I find myself, for some reason, repeatedly going back to analogies and illustrations from my kickboxing training. When I'm sitting to get down putting sermons together, the Lord would say, you need to share this because it relates to spiritual warfare. And I would think, well, I see the connection. Now that makes sense to me. So I would start including these stories about how this ties in. And, you know, we're fighting demons. We're in a fight, brother. This is not a love march. We're in a fight against these things. And so the Lord was giving me all these illustrations. And one day, one of the people in the congregation said, you know, Pastor Rick, you need to write a book about that stuff you're teaching us, because I've never heard those things, and it makes a lot of sense to me, and it's literally changing the way I see this whole picture, the whole thing. And, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to me that moment and said, there you go. This is where all of this led to. All of those years in that boxing ring, Brother Shannon, getting my, you know, brain tissue rearranged, all of those things that a fighter goes through, it was for such a time as this. Let me say this. You will go through things that you will be absolutely certain were a total waste. That you'll look in the mirror and you'll say, man, I missed that. You talk about getting off track. But then one day, you'll look at it and you'll say, oh, now I see why God let me go through that. Now I understand what God was trying to do. You see, in Psalm 76:10, it says, surely the wrath of man shall praise you, praise the Lord. With the remainder of wrath, you shall gird yourself. Now, you know who the author of wrath is. It's not God. So Satan will send wrath into your life, in other words, destruction and problems and issues, but God will cause those issues to praise him. Do you hear what I'm saying? He will take what Satan intended as destruction, and then he will turn it around. Have you ever seen that happen, Shannon? Have you ever witnessed it? He'll turn it around and cause it to praise him. And then the remainder of the wrath, the word says, he will restrain. You know, God's not going to let the devil destroy you, brother. But you can go through some things because God's going to use that as a testimony. He's going to use it in your ministry. Are you with me? You hear what I'm saying? As we say in Texas, do you feel me, brother?
I do. I feel you.
Amen. So they said, why don't you write a book about that? And immediately the Holy Spirit quickened me and said, start right now. Sit down. And the minute I got into it and started literally putting it on paper, I saw this whole thing just open up. Like, you know, this amazing revelation. Everything that you go through in your life is for one reason, and the purpose is for you to be able to use it to glorify God. To be able to use it to glorify God. Now, it may not seem like what you're doing at the time has anything to do with glorifying God, but like we just read in Psalms, He will take the wrath of man and cause it to praise Him. So He'll take your life experiences, the times that people hurt you, abused you, lied to you, threw you under the bus, stabbed you in the back, did all of those things that you're going to have happen to you in this life. God will take that thing and He will use it to build a message, because that's what it's all about, is the message. So when I started looking at these things, it occurred to me, the people of God are perishing for a lack of what, brother?
Lack of knowledge.
Yeah, they don't have the knowledge. They don't have the knowledge. Let me let you in on another little clue. You know what a boxer perishes from? A lack of knowledge. A lot of people think they have knowledge until they climb between those ropes. And let me tell you how it really is. When I was in high school, a movie came out. And that movie was called Rocky. Movie with Sylvester Stallone where he runs up the steps and he becomes the next heavyweight champion of the world. That movie to me, because again, I wanted to be a boxer. I modeled my life after Rocky.
Right.
Whatever Rocky did, I did, man. Remember Rocky had those gray sweatpants?
Yep.
I got me some gray sweatpants. Remember he ran in those kids? Those basketball kids that had no cushion. They weren't running shoes. They were those you know, flat-sole black kids. I had them. I was going to run in them. If Rocky ran in them, I was going to run in them. I think I saw one time where he put some weights around his legs, so I got some of those ankle weights, and I would run with ankle weights on, man, because I was going to do what Rocky did. I hung a punching bag in my backyard on a tree with a chain. Got out there, and I didn't realize that when you leave a punching bag outside, something called rain happens. And when it rains on it, it becomes as hard as a piece of cement. It loses its soft. So I've got basically a cement bag hanging in my backyard, and I'm out there punching it every day because I wanted to be like Rocky. Rocky had a breakfast, and he would take two eggs, if you saw the movie, and he would break raw eggs into a blender, and then he would pour powdered protein something in it and put some water, stir it up, and he'd drink it. Remember that scene? Guess what I drank for breakfast every morning? Everything that Rocky did, I believed, man, I know how to do this, because I knew every punch that Rocky threw. I studied that movie with Apollo Creed and how Rocky would jab and bob and weave. The only problem was, my brother, that was fantasy. That had nothing to do with reality. And I discovered that little detail the first time I actually climbed into a boxing ring and put boxing gloves on. I realized my Rocky Balboa training really didn't work in the real world. Christians today are trying to fight the devil with Rocky Balboa training. Stuff that they've been told, you don't have to worry about that. Devil can't do that, man. You're covered. You're good to go. You don't have to worry about it. But in reality, the first thing I had to do in my gym, and the way I see this whole series, the way I want to do, I want to take people where they are, and I want to explain to them some tie-ins and some analogies. You know, Jesus taught in parables,
yes.
Analogies and illustrations. That's what Jesus did. That He went to where people lived and explained it and broke it down. So when people come to the gym for the first time, this is the spiritual gym, and I'm going to train you just like I would train a fighter for a world title event based on my experience. So the first thing I have to do with a fighter when they come to the gym, Brother Shannon, is break the Rocky syndrome. What that is, everybody walks into that gym with a misconception of what fighting really is. They may have seen Rocky, they may have had a cousin who was a boxer or whatever, but they don't really understand what it is until they get in that ring. So the first thing I have to do is sit them down and tell them what it's not and what it is. It's the same thing with spiritual warfare. The first thing you've got to do is you've got to you got to convince people somehow that this is real. Because, Brother Shannon, that's the hardest thing. That's the biggest obstacle we're up against in the church world, is they've been saying that this is not real for years.
That's right.
And we're in the kook category, all right? That's what they relegate us to. So the first thing we've got to do, when a guy comes to the gym, unfortunately, I would often put the gloves on him and put him in a ring and throw some punches at him to wake him up and break him out of his Rocky syndrome mindset and say, look, you can do this, but you're going to have to work at it, just like everyone does. The risk reward is great because the reward for winning is awesome. The risk of losing is terrible. In spiritual warfare, you've got to understand you have a real enemy out there. And brother, you're in a fight. You're fighting every day. You haven't realized it many times, but you have an enemy who is knocking you down, knocking you out sometimes. There's something in boxing called a standing eight count. That's when you hit your opponent and cause him to have to stop and take a timeout, and the referee steps in front of him and counts to eight. After that eight count, if he cannot continue, the fight's over and you win. As Christians, brother, we're taking standing eight counts all the time. We're getting banged up in there, and we don't know what's happening. When you come out of the standing eight count, you're never quite right, because there's a reason you had to take the standing eight count, because he's hit you and he's caused you to be discombobulated to some degree. Satan is hammering us, and the one thing he wants you to do is get into that ring blindfolded every day, not knowing where the punch is coming from. You never see it, so you are at a tremendous disadvantage. We're literally boxing blindfolded with demon entities, opponents, enemies that want to kill us. They want to at least rough us up and beat us up so they can come back another day. You know, the thing about boxing, brother, you may beat an opponent in a fight, but there's something called a rematch. And that opponent will come back wanting a rematch at some time.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to come back, and you know what he's been doing while he's been waiting for that rematch? He's been getting in better shape so that he can beat you this time. So you, as a champion in the Holy Ghost, you've got to go get yourself in better shape. The way you fought 6 months ago is not going to cut it the way you fight right now if you've got a rematch with an opponent. And demons demand rematches. They're coming back, brother. They're coming back with some of their buddies, and they're going to hit you harder, and they're going to try to get in. So you have to get in a spiritual shape, literally going to the Holy Ghost gym, where you can fight, and you know what they're coming at you with. And it's basically the greatest, if I can do nothing else with all of this, other than to wake up some people to understand you are in a fight. There is a way to win that fight, but you have to have some knowledge to be able to do that. You got to know something. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. And Brother Shannon, stop me if I'm running too long here, man. You just tell me what the time.
Oh, sir, this is good. We've got another 40 minutes. If you're just tuning in, we're live tonight with Rick Bell. Folks, this is the program we've been waiting for. We're calling tonight's program, this is the introduction, Getting in Shape for the Fight of Your Life. Stop boxing blindfolded against demons. Rick, continue on, brother. This is good.
Thank you, my brother. There are three levels of awareness that we all function in as people, human beings. The first level is something called conscious competence. The second level is something called conscious incompetence. And then the third level is called unconscious incompetence. Now, let me go over what each one of those means and bring this into focus, how it applies to us. The first area of awareness is conscious competence. That means you know that you know how to do something. Let's use as an illustration your kitchen sink needs to be replaced, which is going to involve doing some plumbing work under the kitchen cabinets and, you know, something that's going to take some work. If you are coming from a conscious competence standpoint, you know how to do it. You may have had some experience working with plumbers, or your dad was a plumber, but you know how to do it. You know how to take the sink out, how to get under there, how to work on the pipes, and make it all right so that it will work. That's the first level. You know that you know. The second level is called conscious incompetence. And that would be, you've got to replace the sink in your kitchen, but you know that you don't know how to do plumbing. You're aware of that. Rather than try to just figure it out and take the screwdriver and start pulling stuff out, you call a plumber, which is what I would do because I don't know too much about plumbing. I'm a kind of a handy guy. I can do lots of stuff. But when it comes to plumbing, Brother Shannon, I think everybody kind of has the thing they don't like. I don't like to do plumbing. So I would be in that category. The second category, which is conscious incompetence. I know I don't know how to work on plumbing. But the third category is called unconscious incompetence. And that category would be the person who looks at the sink and says to himself, I can do that. It can't be that hard. Not knowing anything about plumbing or anything that he needs to know to do, he takes his wrench and he starts yanking that sink out. And guess what happens in the next few minutes? He has a waterfall in his kitchen. He has pipes busted and going everywhere, and his wife's screaming at him. But he had unconscious incompetence. He didn't know what he didn't know. That is the most dangerous level you can be at. Conscious competence relating to boxing would be, I know that I can get in there and defeat this opponent because I'm in shape and I know what punches that opponent's going to throw. The second category, conscious incompetence, would be you saying, you know, I'm not ready for that opponent. He's too strong for me right now, so I'm going to wait and train 6 more months. Then I'm going to engage that opponent. But the third level, and the most dangerous, is unconscious incompetence, where you say to yourself, I can throw every punch Rocky Balboa threw. Put me in there with anybody. I don't care. I am good to go. And unfortunately, the third area, unconscious incompetence, is where most of the church is today. They don't know what they don't know. And that is a dangerous place to be when it comes to spiritual warfare. You can stick your head in the sand and pretend like, that's just make-believe. That's a bunch of crazy people talking. But it's not. And the day will come when you know it's not. I pray that that day is sooner rather than later. I pray that the day is today that you recognize this is real. The spiritual world is real. It is much more real than the tangible material world that we live in. I can reach out right now and touch a doorknob, and I can touch the wall, and I can touch a few things in my office here. But those things are going to disintegrate and go away in a few years. They will be no more. But the spirit realm is eternal and lives forever. And everything that manifests in this material realm is decided in that heavenly realm. And if you can ever get that one revelation that this thing is a fight, we're in it, and you have to get in spiritual shape to fight. And no, it's not easy. Nothing about it is easy because your enemy, the devil, seeks to do 3 things, and he's very good at them. He wants to steal, he wants to kill you, and he wants to destroy everything you have and everything you care about. That's his job description. That's his mission. And you are going to have to learn to fight back, because let me let you in on something. The battle is intensifying. It's not decreasing. It's heating up. You're headed for the fight of your life. Some of you have been in it now. Some of you have been knocked out. You've been taking that standing 8 count. Some of you have even been possibly knocked unconscious by the devil, and you're trying to get up and go forward. We're going to talk about in this series some things you can relate to in the natural that also apply to training your spirit man. Because make no mistake, you have to train your spirit man. This is not something that you're just going to wake up one day and have this immense information. You are going to have to seek out pastors like John Gogan. You're going to have to seek out Pastor Worley's information. You see, this is a very unique time we live in, where we live in the information age that they talked about. Everyone touted the information age was coming back in the early 90s. I remember I used to subscribe to a magazine called Trends Magazine, and it would talk about the future, the information age. We're living in that. And it's no accident that God has put in place mechanisms like Omega Man Radio, where you can go and have an archive. Let me tell you, you can get a college degree from your little smartphone if you just will apply yourself. There is so much information out there that in non-traditional ways where in years past you would have to go and sit in your community college or go off to a university. But now you can learn information. You can become a literal virtual expert on a myriad of topics from your own laptop, from your own smartphone. You can get the equivalent of a college education. And I'm not saying don't go to college. That's not the point. But I'm saying information is now available that's never been available before. And all we've got to do is want to train. You got to want to go to the gym. I don't know if you've ever joined a fitness center, but 92.6% of Americans have at some point in their life. Let me tell you how the fitness business works, because I was in the fitness center business. As you know, when I told you my story about being born again, I was working in a fitness center, and then I ended up owning my own fitness center when I trained with George Foreman's fighters. The fitness industry works on something called breakage. And breakage is when you go and you sign up for a gym membership, and you sign up for a year or 2 years, and you pay every month, and you go work out the first month, maybe a couple of weeks of the second month, and then they don't see you again. You never show up again. I know none of you listening to me, I know that doesn't apply to you, certainly not you, Brother Shannon. I'm sure you're a workout machine. But in the gym business, they count on the fact that you're going to sign up and pay and never go work out.
I've been there and done that one.
Yeah, that's how that's why it all works. That's why you have all the Gold's Gym and Gym X's and 24-hour fitness. That's why they're everywhere. Because people sign up, they pay, but they never go and take advantage of it. That whole industry is built on that. I would urge my Christian brothers and sisters, don't fall into that category. You've got to get serious. We're going on a Holy Ghost diet in 2015. We're getting ready to cut the fat out, and we're going to focus on things that are going to bring strength, stamina, knowledge, and skill to us so we can fight the fight of our lives. You need three things, Brother Shannon. You got to have will, skill, and conditioning drills.
Yes.
The first thing is will. You got to have the will to fight. If you only have the will to be a victim, guess what you're going to be? You're going to be a victim, and you're going to get beaten up. You're going to be like the proverbial little kid getting sand kicked in his face, you know, that you've heard about your whole life. So you got to have the will to fight. And I presume that everyone listening to this broadcast has the will to fight, or you wouldn't be listening to Omega Man. You wouldn't be wasting your time. You got the will. You just need to have the skill. So now we're talking about the skill, and the skill is why you plug in so you can learn something. Let me tell you, a night doesn't go by that my little laptop here does not have Omega Man pulled on. Most of you in the chat room see me. I don't say too much, but I'm in there. You see me pop up. I've got my little guitar on, and in fact, I'm in there right now because I want to learn. I want to learn from everybody I can learn something from, because I know what kind of a fight we're in. I know what kind of a fight I'm in, and you're in the same kind of fight with your circumstances and your issues. And the last thing, you have will, skill, then you have to have conditioning drills. You're going to have to work out some. You're going to have to do some things. You're going to have to get into that word. You're going to have to read some books. You're going to have to break down and go to Pastor John Gogan's bookstore and buy some of those little books. And you have no excuse not to do that. You got to get in shape. I'm not asking you to go out and run 6 miles yet. That's next week's lesson. No, I'm just kidding. Don't panic. We're not going to do too much of that stuff, but you got to have the will, skill, and conditioning drills to get into this fight. We're going to give you some tools that will work for you, and we're going to give you the main thing that you got to do, first of all, is realize it's a fight, and you got to learn some things. You don't know. You're in that number three level, unconscious incompetence. Remember that. If you didn't write them down, you should. Go back and listen, pause this thing, and get those three things, because we want to come out of unconscious incompetence to conscious competence. We want to know what we're doing and have the confidence to be able to do that. Brother Shannon, I'm going to let you ask questions or where we want to go.
We are live tonight with Minister Rick Bell from Texas. Rick, when we met some weeks ago, you were sharing with me a little testimony of what it was like when you decided to pursue boxing for the first time. And you'd come out as a martial artist, several degree black belt, kickboxer. You knew how to battle. And if I remember the story correctly, you went into the gym one day and they were going to pair you up with a sparring partner.
That's right. Absolutely. That
guy at the top, I think.
Yeah.
That particular day. What happened that day? What did you learn?
Well, that was one of the pivotal turning points of my life, Brother Shannon. And let me tell you why. So here I am. I'm a grown man. As my dad used to say, you're grown, boy. So I was grown. I was a 21-year-old karate guy, and I was pretty tough. I could play the karate game. You know, I could do the kicks and all of that stuff. But you have to understand the boxing game is its own game. The karate game's its own, just like baseball's its own game and football's its own game. They're done differently. So I was pretty confident, and I went down to the Golden Gloves boxing gym that was at the local YMCA. Now, I'd never boxed before, but I had been in many sparring competitions with my karate buddies. We did karate and did all that stuff. But the rules are different in karate, just like the rules are for boxing are what they are. So I show up at the YMCA, and I've got my brand-new Nike really cool gym bag that I probably paid $20 for, but back then that was a lot of money. And I'm going to look cool. You know, that's one of the things. That was my golfing strategy. I couldn't play very well, but I was going to have the best-looking clubs out there on the links. Just hopefully I didn't have to swing them. So I show up the club at the YMCA, walk in, and I'd called the coach beforehand and said, hey, I want to come down and help you guys out, quote-unquote. So he's waiting for me, meets me at the door, really nice guy, Coach Jim. I walk in, I shake Coach Jim's hand, and he shows me to the dressing room so I can go in there and get my boxing gloves on. You have to wrap your hands. There's a little ritual you go through before you spar. It keeps your knuckles from being cracked, so you have to wrap. It's a hand wrap that goes on. So I was wrapping and putting my gloves on, and Coach Jim says, okay, so I'm going to start you out pretty easy. I don't want to put anybody in there too tough with you to start with because we don't want to scare you off. Ha, 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 ha. I look up at him, I'm thinking, aren't these a bunch of kids? You know, I didn't say that, but that's what I'm thinking. So I come out of the dressing room in a few minutes, and Coach Jim says, okay, I'm going to put you with little Johnny. He's not going to go too hard with you. I look around, I don't see any little Johnny. All I see is a little 12-year-old skinny kid. He says, Johnny, hop up in the ring. This 12-year-old skinny kid jumps up and gets in the ring. I'm thinking, are you serious? You're putting this kid in there with me? Huh. Man, I'm a karate guy. I'm going to have to take it easy on this little feller. So little Johnny's in the ring, and he's probably weighs 75 pounds if he came out of the water and he's soaking wet, 75 pounds. Skinny, knock-kneed kid in there bouncing around the ring. So I walk up the ring, and I'm feeling pretty much like Rocky Balboa. I think this is my moment. I'm in a real boxing ring. When you step in for the first time, you feel that cushion of the boxing ring is a little bit cushioned. It kind of springs. So I'm thinking, wow, I got this. I'm going. Coach Jim looks at me and says, "Are you ready, Rick?" I said, "Man, I'm ready." He said, "Are you ready, little Johnny?" Little Johnny said, "Yes, sir, I'm ready." I had a little girl's voice to make it even worse, so at this high voice. So the sound of the bell, ding, ding, ding. And here we go. I start circling like a tiger. You know, I'm going in for the prey. And here's little Johnny. He's circling, too. He's moving around there. So we meet in the middle of the ring. Little Johnny throws a jab that I don't even ever see coming. Hits me square in the nose, which I freeze for just a moment, thinking, that kid just hit me. And before I could think, he'd hit me about six more times, and he was doing what we call combination punching. A combination, you've heard the boxing term, give him the old 1-2 or the old 1-2-3. That's combination punching. Little Johnny was hitting me with everything that he had. And I could literally not stop any punch that was coming. All I could do was try to duck. I didn't even know how to cover and have a defense at the time. So while I was literally trying to run from this kid who was chasing me and pounding me, so it wasn't bad enough that he's hitting my head at will because I didn't know how to stop those punches because, Brother Shannon, I was in a state of unconscious incompetence. I didn't know what I didn't know. But I thought I knew. I thought I could get in there and handle this. So the kid's pounding my head, and then he decides he's tired of punching me in the face, so he's going to start working on my rib cage. So he drops down and starts hammering some left hook, right hook to my ribs. And I don't know if you've ever been hit in the solar plexus. It doesn't feel real good. This kid is drilling me. Boom, 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 boom. And the rounds in boxing are three-minute rounds. As long as 3 minutes of my life. I ended up on the ropes. The coach had to call little Johnny off of me a few times so that he wouldn't knock me out. He was pounding, ding, 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 the bell rings. I climb out of that, and by now, of course, there's a crowd of the whole YMCA people have stopped what they're doing, and they've come to see this man getting beaten up by this skinny little kid. So I climb out of the ring with my kind of looking cool, like, oh, I forgot something in the dressing room. You know that look. And I start making my way past the crowd as they're kind of looking at me and, snickering. I go in the dressing room. I get my gloves off as fast as I can. I throw them in my brand new Nike bag that I'd purchased. That was a symbol. And I head for the door. I'm trying to run out of there before this 12-year-old kid beats me senseless. Coach Jim stopped me at the door and he said, "I'm sorry, I should have pulled him off of you. I didn't mean for him to bang you up like that." To which I replied, "Oh, no problem, Coach Jim. I just remembered I've got to pick my grandmother up from bingo." So I run out the door with my nose bleeding, my eyes black from this kid beating the snot out of me. And I got in my little truck. I had a little Datsun truck. They didn't have Nissan those days. It was Datsun. I sat in my little Datsun truck, went around the block, looked up in the mirror to see the damage this kid had done, and started figuring out what kind of story I was going to concoct for my karate buddies to explain why I looked like a truck had hit me in the face. That was my wake-up call, that I didn't know what I didn't know. From that time on, as the Bible says, I set my face like flint to learn how to box. If I'm going to get in there and do this, I need to know something. Because if not, I can walk around and call myself a boxer. Brother Shannon, a lot of people can walk around and call themselves a spiritual warrior or a deliverance minister. But when they get in that ring, it can be a different story. And that's what I'm telling you. I'm trying to get this to where the rubber meets the road, where the reality intersects with whatever mindset that you may have had or illusions you may have had or thought. This is where it started for me. So that set me on a quest, listen, to find the truth. In whatever thing I was going to do, I was going to search it and find the truth. I've never been one for phoniness, and I think that little lesson really broke me of that. A lot of people like to pretend that they are something, and they like to wear the trappings of that. But when it really gets down to it, can you put your money where your mouth is? Can you stand and deliver? And I always wanted to be able to stand and deliver. And when it comes to spiritual warfare, as you so well know, there is so much, let me say that again, there is so much to learn that you don't have the luxury of taking a month off without learning some more stuff. There is a lifetime of information that we need to be able to be effective spiritual warriors. In other words, we've got to get in shape, brother. We got to get to the gym now. We need to get there yesterday in the spiritual gym and start getting in shape so that you're not getting knocked out. And when I say you, you know, getting knocked out as a Christian, it may not be you. It may be your daughter who keeps having a recurring issue with substance abuse. It may be your nephew who can't seem to stay out of jail. It may be an illness. You understand, the enemy attacks in all these different ways. So you may think, man, my life's pretty good. I'm, you know, I don't have any of these issues. Oh, yeah, you do. Look at your extended area. Look around you, and you'll see where there's an attack that's happening in your sphere of influence. So that's what I'm telling you. The more in shape you get, you're going to find you can beat these things back before they can come in and get a foothold in your life, in your family's life. Amen?
Rick, what did the Lord show you about the current condition of the Deliverance Army? Is it prepared for what's coming?
Well, no, Brother Shannon. We are in the third level of awareness, which is unconscious incompetence. The fault for that lies in some different places. It's not being taught in the pulpit. Number one, preachers, the church has become a business by and large, and preachers are no longer preaching. They're what I call pulpit politicians who are running for re-election every Sunday. See, the preachers now are delivering messages that are going to basically keep them in a job. And we are in that age of the itching ears where people want to hear what they want to hear. What they desperately need to hear is what we're talking about tonight. The church, the body of Christ, needs a paradigm shift. Paradigm, big word. Paradigm shift means a completely new way of looking at something, a new reality, if you will. The church is ill-prepared for this, and as you are going to see a continual ramping up of demonic manifestations and activity, all you've got to do is turn your television on, and there are probably a dozen dedicated to hauntings, haunted houses, mediums, spirits, dead people communicating. It's on literally 7 days a week. Why is that? Because so much of it is going on, brother.
That's right.
So much of it, they couldn't have television shows if they didn't have this evidence of stuff going on. And I'm telling you, listen, spoke to me, when he was calling me to do this, is back in 08, he told me to start educating myself on all of these things that are going on that the church will tell you, no, don't look at that, don't watch it. Well, let me tell you something. The greatest thing an army has is something called intelligence. And that doesn't mean how smart they are. That means what they know about the enemy, what the enemy's doing, what the enemy movements are, how the enemy operates, what the enemy tactics are. You know, one of the main reasons we won World War II, the Allies did, was because we had a group of people called code breakers that right. broke a code called the Enigma Code that the Germans had that they thought was unbreakable by the grace of God, because God's sovereignty was involved in that whole thing. We were able to break their codes. When we did, We knew their movements and what they were going to do and how many troops they were going to have at any given time in any certain place. That information was crucial. It's crucial to any type of investigation. I have a background in law enforcement. I was a police officer for, law enforcement about 10 years. I was a cop for 6 years, and I was something called a constable in the state of Texas, which is like a sheriff, for 4 years. But when we did police investigation, the one thing that we sought to do was get information from suspects. When we were doing investigations, especially drug investigations, the greatest thing we could do is sit a suspect down and get them to spill the beans on what they knew. Now, brother, listen, does it make any sense to you to not listen to what these demon-possessed people? You will learn more by what comes out of their mouth during a deliverance. You will learn about enemy movements, what their strategies are, their plans. You'll learn how to deal with them because they, you know, lie not to the Holy Spirit. You know, you've got to engage them in that.
Amen. The Holy Spirit can force them,
yes,
under His pressure, to reveal tactics that we need to more effectively attack and destroy these strongholds and hosts of hell. Brother, I want to take you back to the boxing ring. You had an opportunity to see George Foreman, the world champion, in action. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. George was in training for his second comeback. And he was George's a tough guy. I mean, that kind of goes without saying.
How tough was this guy? And who he would have a regular group of people that would be sent to him as sparring partners. What happened to some of these guys?
Well, it wasn't pretty. George was a heavyweight boxer, and George was the hardest punching boxer in the history of the whole sport of boxing. There was one other boxer that was close to George's power, and he was a guy named Ernie Shavers. But the guys who fought George Foreman said he was the heaviest handed, meaning the hardest hitting puncher that ever was in the sport. So that is saying something. If you were to ever meet George and stand with him, he's a towering man, a big man with big hands, just a big guy. Now, he's a lovable, the guy that you see the George Foreman grill and all that, he's a lovable, nice guy and a Christian guy and all those things. But brother, let me let you in on how the boxing thing works. When you sign on to get in that boxing ring, there has to be a part of your personality that can flip a switch and you can become violent. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. There has to be a part of you, my brother, that can be a fighter. George Foreman had that part of him when he would get in that ring, that he would be fearless. You can look back at his fights and the Ali fights, and when he fought everyone, and you can see what a fighter and what a fearless person he was. And you don't know how hard, unless you've ever been hit by a boxer. Let me tell you, I can bring you a 12-year-old boy named Little Johnny who can hit you so hard you think you got hit by a truck. Because there's a way that a boxer spends years learning to deliver power in 3 square inches across his knuckles. So George Foreman was a very strong boxer. He would bring sparring partners in from all over the country and pay them. Of course, that's what they did. They were professional sparring partners. And these guys, you would see them on television. Some of them would come up through the ranks and become heavyweight champion. But he would routinely hurt them. You know, not that he meant to, but that's how he had to train to fight. And he would hit guys so hard in the chest that he would break their sternum on a fairly regular basis with a hard right hand. You know, the human body just can't take that kind of strength from a professional boxer. And George would bang these guys up all the time. They'd ship them out, and he'd ship some more in. So they were already always coming. I happened to have at the time, I was doing self-defense training for some police agencies, and there was this padded suit that you could get. You may have seen one before.
Oh, yeah.
It's a self-defense suit that's these guys had just, it was called FIST, F-I-S-T, and they had manufactured it. And it involved a very thick chest pad that was like an umpire in a baseball game. You know, they wear that thick thing. So it was that, but about 3 inches thicker, this really thick pad. So George saw that I had that, and he wanted me to buy him some, order him. Money is not an object with George Foreman. So I think I got him a dozen of them or whatever. He wanted them for his gym, and he would put those, he started putting those on his sparring partners, and he wasn't injuring them as badly, you understand? And so, yeah, George hit real hard, and he would go through sparring partners, and that's kind of a small little closed world that no one really is privy to because they keep the doors shut and they don't want outside viewing eyes. They have public workouts, but, you know, those are all staged. But you wouldn't necessarily see him banging up his sparring partners in that. They try to sanitize it a little bit. So, yeah, I see a lot of that.
He hit so hard that he could literally break your chest. Send you to the hospital.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's not, it's not that hard to do, Shannon. I mean, it sounds that way, but I hate to admit it. I actually broke a person's chest one time. I mean, since we're on that subject, so it's not that hard to do. You know, I was a fairly strong fighter. That's why I ended up being real successful. And I actually did that one time. I felt terrible about it because it's never your goal to hurt anyone, but, you know, things happen. So,
Rick,
yeah, George could break it up.
We are in a real battle where the enemy is not just sparring with us. He wants to kill us.
I saw some
of those matches where there was two boxers and one of them was hit so hard and they took him off the ring. I mean, literally he died. There have been people who died, and that was in a controlled match. But
that's
we're literally in a end-time battle, which is coming. Would I be correct in saying if we don't get prepared, there's going to be people going out in body bags because they underestimated the enemy who the Word of God says comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That means that there's a precedent that he's already killed people. What do you say to that?
It's coming, brother, and it's increasing. They're going out in body bags now as we speak, and it's only the beginning. You're seeing a convergence of things happening. You know, we're not going to get into all of that, the end time stuff, but I'm telling you, open your eyes and look around. If you follow the news, not long ago, there was a news article about I think he was a 9 or 10 year old boy who had gotten in some trouble at school because he was demon possessed. Go figure. So he's in the principal's office. He's in the office with the school nurse, the boy's mother, and I believe it was the school security guard or police officer. They're all in the principal's office. This boy, 9-year-old, 10-year-old boy, and I may not have the details exactly right, but this is what happened. This boy walks over and walks up the wall, feet on the wall, walks up the wall, walks across the ceiling, and then comes back down.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. That's a wow. With these witnesses. Now, it made the news briefly. Made the news. My question is, why don't all the news cycles completely stop until we find out how that 9-year-old boy walked up the wall and walked across the ceiling? I want to know that. Okay, but you understand there is an effort to keep that. In other words, Satan doesn't want to be exposed. We don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about who's on the Grammys, and we want to talk about Taylor Swift's dress or whatever. Foolishness, useless things. But what we need to be doing is recognizing, yes, it's going to increase. They're going to be going out in body bags. And you may think that it doesn't affect you. Let me assure you, everything I'm talking about will either directly affect you or your family, someone you love, your job, your situation, because the portal, the gates of hell have been slung wide open because of many lifestyle choices we've made in this country. It's been a slippery slope, and we've slid down pretty far. But suffice to say, it's Grand Central Station, if you will. Do you think we have an immigration problem in Texas on the border? We've got a demonic immigration problem, my brother. They're pouring in, and Shannon, you're seeing it manifest in people. It's not just us. Right-wing, left-wing, middle-wing kooks, you know, on this demonic thing. You're seeing it. Turn the news on. You're seeing people do heinous things. It is not normal for a person to be able to calmly have a knife, take a person's head and saw it off on YouTube. That's not normal. That's not human. You have a demonic driving force behind that. And God's people, Shannon, have got to wake up and realize we better get in shape for the fight of our life, because we're not in shape. The church is in pitiful shape. It would be like me or you right now, you getting up from your chair. You live in Las Vegas. It's one of the fight capitals of the world. You, Shannon, going down to the MGM Grand, walking up to the ring saying, put some gloves on me. I want to take on the heavyweight champion right now. Let's go. Oh,
my goodness.
That's the equivalent of what we're facing. That you get the concept of that. You understand what a massacre. If I did that, I would have a better chance of you just because I've done this stuff, but I would be slaughtered because I'm not in shape to fight. There's a difference, brother. I know how to fight, but I'm not in shape to fight. Do you get what I'm saying? You can read all the books. You can study all the stuff. But if you're not in shape to apply it, it's not going to work. You're going to get slaughtered, and that's what's happening. So I'm telling you, there's got to – listen, brother, when you start training as a fighter, there have to be lifestyle changes. You don't have the luxury anymore of going down to Pizza Hut and having the extra large double cheese, pepperoni, meat lovers twice or three times a week. You can't do that. There's going to be some things you have to forego to get in shape. Just like anyone's ever been on a diet, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a price to pay. There is a price to pay to get in spiritual shape, but no one really wants to pay it because, number one, they don't even know what the price is. This stuff that I'm talking about right now, you know this. This is foreign to most people in the church today. Not to your listeners, because thank God you're on here every night educating and teaching and getting people in shape. So the listeners under the sound of my voice now are the exception to the rule. But we've got a whole church full of people who don't have a clue about any of this stuff. And they laugh at you.
Are being killed every day, and they don't even know what hit them.
Nope. Never know what. Just like when I walked in the ring with the 12-year-old kid, I never knew what hit me. He hit me square in the nose and broke it. It's got a hump to this day from that little kid. My nose has got a hump in it. But I never knew what hit me. The church doesn't. Listen, brother, there's so many stories I can tell you of when you get into spiritual warfare, and you know this. I'm saying this for the benefit of the listeners. You start to see warfare play out. You start to see people attacked by cancers. You see the demonic. You see when it breaks. You see miraculous healings. You see people literally having a death sentence, going to a cancer hospital and then telling them, and this happened about 3-4 months ago, goes to the cancer hospital because the hometown hospital said, we can't do anything. You're covered up with tumors. You're literally covered with them. Sent them to a cancer specialist called MD Anderson Medical Center in Houston, Texas. It's a cancer research center. Sent this person there. In the meantime, we attacked it in prayer and went to battle. By the time he got to MD Anderson, strangest thing happened. No cancer. It's all gone. All gone. Now, it was completely covering the inside of him, but now it's gone. So the doctors take all day looking at the x-rays thinking, how did this happen? You know, where did they go between where he got here and the hospital? Saw that miraculous healing. Then the Lord speaks to me and says, I gave you that healing, but unless you get, and he named the spirits, unless you get those spirits under control, that cancer is coming back on this person with a vengeance.
Wow.
I went to the people involved and I said, listen, there is a spirit, and I named what the spirit was, that we have got to get an agreement because the Spirit of God told me this thing is going to come back. They basically scoffed at me. They were church people, and you know, and I love them, but they basically didn't really believe half of the stuff I was saying because unless you have ears to hear, whatever, you're not going to get it. So they kind of poop, you know, said, whatever, he's healed. In Jesus' name, he's healed. I told them, I'm telling you, there's a strong man who has entered this picture, and he's put that cancer, it's en route back into this person's life. 2 weeks later, amazingly, he goes for a checkup. The cancer's back, worse than it was. completely cut 2 weeks in 2 weeks' time, completely covering him, his one of his internal organs, and it's a bad situation, Shannon. It's nothing. It's a bad situation. I'm telling you, I didn't just have a pizza dream when I woke up and said, hey, we need to attack this spirit because the cancer's coming back. You know, when you're saying things to people and everything you're saying is happening, you're hearing something. There's something going on. So I'm telling you, yes, God's people are under attack and they don't even know it. They're in the third stage, unconscious incompetence. They don't know what they don't know. My mission, if nothing else, is to wake them up, that to get them out of the Rocky Balboa syndrome of spiritual warfare. Does that make sense to you, my brother?
Yes. Let me say this in closing, and then we're going to give out some contact information tonight. Are you enjoying this out there, folks? This is good stuff. If you're just coming in late, we've got Rick Bell. This is the introduction to a whole series that God has sent him here to teach. I look at it like this, brother. What we're facing and is coming our way, folks, whether you like it or not, whether you want to or not, you're going to be facing some of the heavyweight champions of hell.
Mm-hmm.
And these are demonic forces that have had a long time to practice, and they're not going to cut you and I any slack. If they can take you out in a second and send you into eternity, they'll do that. That's their mission. Word of God says, my people are destroyed. It means they're gone. They died for a lack of knowledge. And God tells us straight in his word, Satan is like a roaring lion. Okay, the most fierce animal in the animal kingdom. Everything is afraid of this thing. It is coming to kill. He said, looking whom he may devour. He says, Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So if you want to underestimate your enemy, if you want to say, I'll just lead this fight for someone else, folks, they'll come for you sooner or later and take you and your whole family out in a body bag. If it could happen to the son of the number one gross-selling book in the world, I won't mention his name, took him out in a body bag, and they still don't know what hit their son. They're looking for answers in psychology. When what happened is he was taken out by devils. He's buried tonight. Didn't have to be that way. Who do you think you and I are? I'm here to say, though, there's some good news tonight. Greater is he, Jesus, that is in you and I than he that is in the world. And God is sending men and women in this very time to train you and I, to equip the saints, so that we can stand, so that we can endure till the end, so we can do exploits, so we can give the devil a knockout punch. You either knock him out or he's going to kill you. That's the bottom line. There's no peace treaties with the devil. If you think that, you're mistaken. Many people made that mistake. They're gone now. I'm here to tell you, this is the time to get in the battle, get into shape, because we're in the Super Bowl of the end times, to make another analogy out there. And that's what we intend to do. Train you up in this series, Getting in Spiritual Shape series. It's time to go to the Holy Ghost gym. I just want to say, too, brother, there's probably some people tuning in that says, man, I want some of what Rick got. In the beginning, you can get that. We're out of time tonight, but before we close, Rick, I want you to give out your website. God has had you put together a book. How soon is that from being released? Tell us about it.
Well, brother, you know, it keeps growing and growing. Every day I get up and, you know, God's giving me my, put this in it. But, well, you know, I've been talking tonight for 2 hours, and I haven't even gotten any of the topics in the books. But there's so much information to get. So the book is called Boxing Blindfolded with Demons. The book's going to be out, I'm hoping, April 1st, it should be in a Kindle edition at least, and then, you know, as far as printing, we'll figure that out. But that's coming. My website, if you would like to go to my website, it is heavenlywarriors.com. That's heavenlywarriors.com, HEAVENLY, warriors, WARRIORS.com. And I do a teaching on there every week, which is cool. It's like an online church service with some of the things we talk about and others. That's on there every week. And my email, please feel free to email me or contact me. Anybody out there that wants to call me, I've got time to talk to you. That's what I do this for, as Brother Shannon knows. You could double my pay, and it would be about the same as it is, right, brother? So it's not for the money we do this, but it's for to try to serve. So you can email me at rickteaches@aol.com. That's Rick, R-I-C-K, teaches, T-E-A-C-H-E-S, at aol.com. My name is Rick Bell, B as in boy, E-L-L. And you can contact me by email, and I will give you a call, and we can talk, spend some time with you. And if anything I've said tonight has triggered something in your spirit, we need to talk about it, and let's get into it a little bit deeper, because this is deadly serious stuff. This is not a hobby. This is not something I'm just telling you, hey, man, it would be cool. Let's talk about boxing and demons. Hey, that'll be fun. No, no, no. This is life and death. This is body bags. The body bag count is beginning to increase, and it's time to dig in. Let's get in shape. And you need to be the champion. You're either going to be the champ or the chump. You decide. It's time to decide.
Praise God. I want to be that. Sure, folks, I want to live. I want to be a champion, don't you? You can be in Jesus' name. Now's the time to get prepared. You're going to get prepared through this program. Rick, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. I'll be in touch with you this week, and we'll go ahead and lock in for your next date. My brother, we love and appreciate you. Awesome testimony tonight, and would you like to close out in prayer?
Absolutely. Thank you, Shannon, for the opportunity and for all that you do. Father God, the word that you put in my mouth has gone out tonight, and God, I give you glory. I seek no glory for myself. Holy Spirit, right now, those words that were sent out that will live on for years, I call for an anointing on them. I call for power and deliverance. For anyone out there who doubts any of this, I bind that doubting spirit in the name of Jesus, and I call those things are not as though they were. So right now, Father God, with your strength, take us to the spiritual gym so that we can get in shape, so that we will be different and better tomorrow than we were today. And I thank you again. And in Jesus' name, we pray in agreement. Amen.
Amen, brother. Rick, it's an honor to have you on tonight, my brother. I'm looking forward to the next broadcast with you.
Thank you so much, brother. Keep up the good work.
I'll talk to you probably tomorrow. God bless you, Rick.
God bless you, man. Bye-bye.
That was Minister Rick Bell. If you're coming in late, man, you missed an awesome testimony tonight. This is only the introduction to a whole series that's coming your way right here on Omega Man Radio beginning next week.